Podcast time. We back.
Yay.
Season 1, episode 3. We have a bike ghost hunter lady.
Yeah, we're talking motorcycles, not Schwinn's.
And ghosts hunting locally in Chattanooga and surrounding.
That's right.
Who would you want to tailgate with?
Well, we're going to find out.
And also, Dave Chappelle throws sticks and stones, and I'm so offended. Let's go!
This is Roundtable 105 on Radio.com, where Rock 105's Sean Stewart, Greg Rambin, and Boner, you know, sit at a round table and talk and stuff. Thanks for joining us as we revisit this week's nonsense.
Yeehaw!
From Chattanooga, Tennessee, this is Roundtable 105.
No, we can't, but it's awesome to see all the PC people, the blue checkmark people. They're all like the little tight right now when he says his jokes up there.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about it. You came in the other day and was like, you see the Chappelle thing?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah. In fact, when I did my top five list for top five ways to enjoy your Labor Day weekend, I said, take a shot every time Dave Chappelle offends you.
So, still drunk today.
So I'm still drunk, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I wouldn't have taken a single shot.
No?
No, I mean, this stuff doesn't offend me at all. I'm like, yeah, dude, do whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's funny, I'll laugh at it. If it's not, then, I mean, I don't sit there and get offended.
Because that's how comedy is. We've been doing this since the beginning of time. You tell a joke, I laugh.
I mean, if it sucks, then you don't laugh, and I go, huh, that wasn't funny.
You offended me. I can't believe you would say that. I'm a Macaulay Culkin. How dare you? Like, huh?
Hey, he was home. He was alone. No. You know,
yeah.
I ain't telling him how to live.
Parents are in Paris.
Yeah. It shows you because, like, on the Rotten Tomato, the critics gave that special a 0, and the audience gave it a 99.
So the critics are, you know, in their ivory tower, going, "We must not be amused by this.
I can't offend my boss with my real thoughts on Chappelle."
Yeah, Jackass was laughing his ass off. Too.
So is Chappelle now the greatest of all time? Like, is he the Mount Rushmore number one comic ever?
I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Richard Pryor?
No.
I mean, he's a great comedian. He's funny. Greatest of all time.
He had seven specials.
I'd put him in the top 10.
Okay.
I put him in the top 3. Chappelle Show?
I mean, he's funny as hell.
Half-baked?
You know? I don't know. Who's made me laugh the most? I don't know how to...
I mean, you look back on Eddie Murphy Raw, and I can remember being in tears. That was so funny. Now, I was not in tears with Sticks and Stones. More of his humor is like, ooh, you know, that's funny, but... Wow.
Yeah, there were very few times I'm sitting there laughing out loud, going, oh, that is hilarious. You are so funny. Mm-hmm. You know, but other comedians, yes, I have sat there and tears have come down.
Right,
I'm holding my side going, please shut up. I can't take anymore.
But that's one special. Like you just said, Raw by Eddie Murphy. He has Raw and Delirious. Dave Chappelle's got 7 specials. He has 4 on Netflix right now, plus all the other ones he did for HBO and Comedy Central down the free. That's all. I mean, he has just a longer body of work. Chappelle's Show is one of the best sketch comedy shows ever. Just Chappelle's resume is just longer than Eddie Murphy's and Richard Pryor's.
Well, just because your resume is longer doesn't mean you're funnier.
I mean, he has had
longevity when it comes to comedy, because comedy is very difficult, as proven every day from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Rock 105. But it's very tough. And putting yourself out there, watching the epilogue, I really found the epilogue of Sticks and Stones
funnier
than his special itself. So if you did not stick around for the epilogue, watch the epilogue.
Yes, I didn't even see that. I just was laughing so hard, grabbing my side, I had to turn it off.
Oh, so...
See, I mean, yeah, the resume, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sean's got a long resume. He ain't funny at all.
Great point, Italian. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, whoop-de-doo.
You can't all go on the resume. Very good point.
Yeah. All right, so I came in to work the other morning and walked in the office, and there's Kyle, and I don't know where he comes up with this crap, but he said, hey,
buddy, did you know the 53% of people would like to tailgate with Tom Brady?
Who?
Where do you come up with this crap? Who cares?
The Patriots?
Patriots quarterback. And I started thinking, like, Why would you want to? Why? I mean, he's got a game.
Who was the interview?
He's got to leave early.
Who did they interview? 53%? Like,
what? I mean, if it were, if they did this in Boston, okay.
Makes sense.
I mean, here in Chattanooga? No, I have no interest in that.
What are you going to do with Tom Brady? He dude's a vegan. What's he gonna, why would I want to tailgate with him?
Yeah, the selection of meats is going to suck.
Terrible. Yeah. You can't drink?
You can't grill tofu?
No.
That's stupid.
You got to get a bunch of grass and some tree bark, throw it on the grill, start a fire.
Yeah. More asparagus boner? You know, no, kiss my ass.
Now, if it was like a Bills Mafia type tailgate where I was able to possibly put Tom Brady through a table that was on fire...
Now
I want to tailgate
now
with
you're
him.
Tailgating.
Do I want him as some sort of performer at our tailgate? Yeah, if we had Tom Brady throwing contest, now we're getting somewhere.
Yes, throw Tom Brady in the river contest.
Yeah. Who can throw him the furthest?
I can't. 53% of people want to tailgate. Who would you tailgate with?
I don't know who I you know what? I want to tailgate with the richest person I can. The one, with the killer spread of food, you know, bringing out lobster and all kind of stuff that I can't afford. You know, bring out good fillets. Have another fillet. All right. Let me be, you know, covered in lobster
this
with
is
the
a
lobster
filet
sauce.
Mignon that has been hand massaged
by Tom Brady.
What an answer that is. That's awesome. Because I was going to say something stupid like Stone Cold because I'm just like, let's pound beers. But take a celebrity out of it. Like, give me the richest. I don't care if you're famous or not, but rich people have the best tailgates.
Absolutely.
You have a huge spread. You have TVs everywhere.
He will probably give you a free tailgate with a truck attached to it.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
There you go. Got Wolfgang Puck up there cooking food for you. That's what I want.
I don't want Tom Brady. I want the richest guy that's just non-famous. Just hang out with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that, dude. You know, there'll be a lot of people this weekend tailgating up in Knoxville as the Mocs roll into Neyland Stadium to be the next team to take down the Vols.
Well, it hasn't happened since, what did I read? 1958, I think.
It has happened?
I think it has.
58, really? When Eisenberg was...
Eisenberg?
Was, he was the...
please smack him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I was...
Yeah, when Jesse Eisenberg was the president.
When I didn't even finish a sentence. He was super in charge bad. Of. He was in charge. He was running the food line. Yeah. Eisenberg, 58.
Oh boy, I am the one who knocks.
Eisenhower.
Thank you.
Tough crowd. You guys are quick to judge in here.
Yeah, well, that's our job. We can't be funny, so we judge.
I have to imagine that Tennessee. They may have lost those first two games, but. They absolutely get it together and win by at least 27.
You're going on record. 27.
At least. Yes.
Wow.
If they lose to UT.
If they lose, that guy needs to be fired before the game's over.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say. Do they fire him at it's before they even leave the stadium?
If,
like,
they, if Chattanooga at all takes lead in that game, that dude should be fired like right then and there.
Chattanooga's up 3-0. You're fired, Pruitt.
Fired. Get the hell out. You suck.
I feel like that's a great thing that they should do. That mate would incentivize them to do that.
And they should come out and say that before the game and say, look, man, here's the deal. If they score on you at all,
you're fired.
You're fired.
Wow.
Or, okay, maybe they'll score at the end of the game. That probably should happen when they have the fourth string in and all of that
that's
kind of
fair.
Thing. And I'm not trying to, you know, be mean to Chattanooga, but... Dude, we're talking about Tennessee, and they are supposed to lose that game. Chattanooga is supposed...
We're going there for a paycheck.
You go exactly. There, you get that's money, why bro. You go. It's not because, you know, well, we feel like we're... I mean, no.
And Tennessee plays Chattanooga. It's like, we're going to get a win. It's going to be easy. We won't mess up our non-conference schedule. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right.
Until Tennessee stinks so bad they can't beat anybody, and that plan backfires.
Yeah, then that's... Uh-oh. And in fact, if... Chattanooga at all takes a lead in that game, I suggest that the football team is now forced to change places with the band.
That's not a bad idea either.
Band, you are now the football
team. Give
them
a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't.
Can't do any worse.
Come on, why not?
Coming in as wide receiver and trombone player.
Why not?
Center. I mean, obviously the tuba guy gets to be the center.
Oh obviously.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Tuba, of course. He's got the biggest ass.
I won't be the center.
What time is that game this week? Is that the noon game?
get it out of the way.
Just get it over as possible. So you said 27 points they're going to win by UT over the UTC mocks. They're winning by 27 points.
I'm going with 27.
27
you,
points.
You want to prognosticate?
I really feel like UTC is going to eke by with a win. It may be by only three.
I want to believe that. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Okay. I'm going to say it's like, you know, like a 2-point squeak out win because Tennessee just did something total Tennessee-ish that they lost the game.
And don't get me wrong. I would love to see UTC win that game. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, because we'll have a parade.
Sure, we'll have a parade. We'll invite Tom Brady. Yeah. We'll have asparagus.
We can ask the bike hunter chick if she wants to come down.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
See if there is any team spirit left. Can
you find us some spirit from a team of that used to be good?
And hell, next week, maybe what's his name? Pruitt?
Mm-hmm. Pruitt.
Maybe he's working here.
Maybe he'll be our guest next week on the podcast.
So what happened?
Yeah. Man.
Here or Hardee's. It'd be one of those.
Yeah, Hardee's may pay more, but this might be more fun here.
Yeah, we're guaranteed they pay more.
Roundtable 105. Last week, Jason Mewes. This week, we have Miranda Young, Celebrity Ghost Hunter, Explorations.
Yeah, this should be fun. But I don't know diddly squat about, you know, ghost hunting and all that. I've seen it on TV a little bit.
I scared of no ghosts.
No, so this should be interesting.
Well, it was funny when I told you that we were going to email a ghost hunter, you looked at me like, dude, what am I going to, I don't know how to do this without, like, it's being, like,
again,
it's hard to not make fun of something you don't know about.
Right, and I like to make fun of everything.
Me too.
Even if I do know about it, but particularly if I don't, it's on.
All right, well, let's get Miranda in. She's got her friend with her, and also Lindsay wants to come in here as well. So let's start the ghostly edition.
You know, last week we had a huge movie star on.
That's right.
Jason Mewes from Jay and Silent Bob. This week we have a huge internet local biker ghost hunter, Miranda Young.
Hey, guys.
The Goat Biker. You got to get right up on
there. Thanks
now,
for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for coming by, because this is super awesome. It's a perfect time, too, here. Mid-September, as we're leading into the fall, start telling scary ghost stories. And what do? You go around on a bike and find haunted places, film it, and then put it on the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been doing this since, I've actually been a paranormal investigator since 2013. And started with a team. But I actually started Ghost Biker Explorations back in March of 2018 and kept it a secret until the release of season one back in the fall. And it's taken off ever since. Sorry about that.
The boner's working the mic right there. We got to make sure it's good. We need the audio.
Well, yeah.
Without audio, we don't have
a
podcast.
Don't be afraid of the microphone. I'm going to put it real close. It will not bite you. And if it does bite you, it's had most of its shots, so you'll be fine.
I've always spent time exploring abandoned locations and research and history. That's really the main thing that got me into it was the photography and the history.
Are you, like, unscarable? Like, because I feel like you have to be wired a certain way to want to go out in the middle of the night to abandoned places with a camera. Like, most people stay clear of that kind of activity.
Well, you know, I'm more afraid of the living than I am of the dead. You know, a lot of...
says as she's sitting next to Boner.
Exactly. You know, most of these places are in not so good locations. And especially the abandoned ones, you just never know what you're going to come up on when you go into them.
Now, as we're sitting here, you have the first season, which is you can go watch now. And you start off the Ghost Biker Expeditions in Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland, Tennessee, the mausoleum there.
Yes, the Bleeding Mausoleum was our premiere episode.
The what?
For season one. The Bleeding Mausoleum.
The what?
The bleeding.
The
Bleeding.
Like blood.
Yes.
Did you bring Band-Aids?
and you said something that is called the Bleeding whatever. And Miranda, I'm going to go there. That's what you decided on. That's what you decided on in March.
Absolutely.
All right.
Now, when you do that, like I watched the episode, why not go during the day?
Well, because it's in the middle of downtown and it's usually pretty loud. And I get that question a lot as to why we don't investigate a lot during the day. And the answer to that is we actually do. And I get as much activity during the day as I do at night. It just depends on the location. A lot of the time it might be in the middle of town. It may be somewhere that has a lot of noise contamination. So the nighttime works better. The nighttime is creepier, but it does seem to work better. as far as noise pollution. People are quieter, that sort of thing.
Why do they call it the Bleeding Mausoleum?
Well, you need to watch the episode.
No! No!
Tell me what?
No!
They actually call it that because there are red stains on the marble that's on the mausoleum.
I want to go there.
You need to go there.
Will you take me? Will you hold my hand?
I will take you.
Now, is that what they do? I did watch the video, Greg. Uh-huh. I saw the ghost tale from the mausoleum from Cleveland. And I noticed you open it, and it struck me as odd because I never heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
But you were there around Halloween. You said Cleveland's the Halloween capital of the world.
It is, and most people don't know that. And that's one of the things we like to cover on our episodes, is the episodes are three-part. We pick the towns that are usually small, the non-commercial locations, and we travel to those locations. And we give a brief history on the town and give some fun facts that people may not actually know about that. And then we tell the story of actually why we're there, and then we do the investigation. And the goal is, if in just in case we don't get any activity, we hope the story is dynamic enough to carry the episode. So, you know, as far as the town, a lot of people think of Salem or New Orleans or certain places like that as being the Halloween capital, but actually, Cleveland has been dubbed that. It's pretty crazy.
I know that if I were a ghost, if I died and I got stuck for eternity in Cleveland, I am pissed. This sucks.
Could have been in New Orleans.
You were a bad ghost.
Bad ghost.
Wow, I must have been a really awful individual.
That's where you go, purgatory. You're in Cleveland, Tennessee forever.
What a nightmare.
Wow, and then you're going to have Miranda looking for you to talk to you.
Yeah, great. This sucks.
So, Miranda, you have somebody with you. And who is that? Introduce us to your compadre here.
Absolutely. I have my co-producer and videographer, Josh Nyman, with me.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Josh, Good. Get on close to that microphone. And how did Miranda talk you into, let's go ghost hunting?
Well, see, I do videography. And me and Miranda have been friends for a good while now. And she goes and does photography. So I was like, Miranda, you really need to be filming this stuff. You know, I mean, she's come back and told me all kinds of these ghost stories and things that she's encountered. And I was just like, you know, you really got to film this stuff. So that's how the journey really began. And, I mean, just going to some of these haunted locations is, you know, me not being a ghost hunter is really interesting. You know, I mean, seeing things happen that you really can't believe your eyes, and then actually capturing it on footage. I mean, that's
right.
That's captured on film is just amazing.
What is the freakiest thing that you, Josh, have encountered that Miranda has forced you into? And they're both smiling at each other right now going,
Well, it's kind of like you really can't say because it's on season two.
Oh.
But I can tell you some things.
That is called a tease.
Yeah. Season one, in one of the episodes, I got touched. Actually, I got touched twice in that episode. Yeah. For some
Boner
reason,
just touched me.
I pay for that.
Yeah, but getting touched, I mean, have you ever like had somebody grab your arm real tight and then they let go and then you still feel the presence on your arm?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels getting touched by like a spirit. And I mean, just feeling that. And we had one that actually grabbed me and wouldn't let go, and Miranda kind of had to tell him to get off me. You know? So a lot of times,
were you like, help me, Miranda? Help.
Did you scream like, well, a girl? Sorry, Miranda.
No, it's more of like I get froze up and I'm like, Miranda. And then she has to kind of like be like, you've got to stop touching Josh, you know?
And that's what's crazy about the whole thing is the fact that with him not being an investigator, and you know, he was kind of coming in to help, you know, just sort of get me started, but there was such a cool dynamic with between us as far as him not being an investigator that it really brought in it really made him identifiable to the audience, because a lot of the people who watch are not investigators. So I really liked keeping that reaction in there. You know, in the beginning, we were thinking, okay, you got to be quiet, you know, when you get touched. But it was actually perfect. You know?
No, I'm saying something.
Yeah, I can't say
you
quiet.
You will hear me say something.
He has a really big challenge to sit there and hold the light, film, and then get touched by spirits, you know? So it's asking a lot to ask him to be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, when they're coming up behind you and then you're just supposed to act like, you
know,
how do you know?
They're coming behind me, I think.
You know how you feel like when somebody is watching you and you just like, you can feel somebody's presence in behind you, you know? And it's like, there is somebody behind me with a shadow of a doubt. And you turn around and there's somebody there. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with like a spirit. And that's, I mean, that is really intense whenever you're sitting there trying to film and you have something behind you, you have something touch you, and then you can't say anything. You just have to be like the camera guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we were initially going to cut those things, but it, you know, it just adds something to it, you know, really.
So what you're saying, Josh, is your safe word is Miranda.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of stigma behind the fact that spirits are supposed to always be evil, but that's not true. So I do have a question. When you were touched, could you tell if it was a, like a, hey, help me touch, or was it a... angry, or I'm angry you're here touch?
I think just like with people, you can like discern their spirits, you know, you can discern what kind of people they are. So if you're getting touched by somebody that's aggressive, you know, that is trying to harm you, you would know. So, you know, you would know that. So it's the same thing with spirits. I mean, it depends on the spirit, really, you know. The one that touched me, I don't think that it was really trying to harm me as it was trying to more of a warning, you know, like trying to keep me from something or trying to persuade me to go to a certain area.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it just thought you were sexy.
Maybe it was the wind.
The wind? I've never felt the wind have like digits that can wrap around my arm, you know?
Well, and you know, I think we have to kind of clarify, because Josh has been touched many times in these locations. And, you know, in the specific location where he was touched the most,
You're talking about the geographic location, not on his body. Okay,
right.
Because exactly. That's not what this show is about.
He was touching most right here.
Exactly.
Show us on your body. Show us on the puppet where the spirit doll touched you.
Right here.
We do have to go through counseling after some of these.
Right.
But yeah, the location, the house that he was touched in.
Sorry, Miranda.
No, that's fine. Keep us on our toes. But he was, you know, the first time was it grabbed his ears, and it was like a heated touch on his ears. And I think it was more so, I feel like, a distraction from what we were doing, because we were actually investigating a haunted relic in this house. And whatever was in there kept trying to get our attention to actually investigate the home itself. And so I kind of personally feel like whatever it was trying to really distract us from what we were doing, so we couldn't tell the story.
They try to point you in a certain direction, like away from maybe where you're going, you're saying? Like the spirit's like, don't go in there, follow me this way.
Well, that does happen from time to time. We'll get everything from intense battery drain to messing with our equipment to, you know, If you watch us, it ties from episode 2 into episode 3 with this house. And we really couldn't even hardly get through filming on episode 2 with trying to cover this haunted relic, because it was trying to lure us upstairs by setting off different equipment.
Wow, that's super interesting. We're talking with Miranda Young. Ghost Biker Exploration season 2 is going to premiere in October?
Yes, October 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
And where can they go to watch this?
They can watch that on my... There's actually 3 places. They can watch that on my YouTube channel, which is Ghost Biker Explorations. My Facebook channel, which is under the same name. I'm the most active on the Facebook page, as well as on my website, GhostBikerExplorations.com.
That's super cool. It premieres on October 1st, and there's a big premiere release party event at White Lightning Harley Davidson on the 28th.
Absolutely, yeah. We're really honored that Harley approached us to do this red carpet event. It's going to be at White Lightning in Chattanooga, And it's going to be on National Ghost Hunting Day, September 28th from 11 to 3.
So that's why it's on September 28th.
Yes. Ghost Hunting Day. So this is season two. Season one, we were talking about, you know, Cleveland. What is, did you do Chattanooga somewhere in Chattanooga? Is there like a super haunted spot in Chattanooga you want to tell us about?
You know, there's a lot of really haunted places in Chattanooga, but in this season, we covered Chattanooga, Cleveland, or I'm sorry, we covered Cleveland, Charleston, and wasn't able to really disclose where the home was located, but it's between Chattanooga and Cleveland.
Now, I just read that they're thinking about building townhomes near the National Cemetery in Chattanooga. Miranda, do you think this is a good idea? I've seen Poltergeist.
It depends if you like having spirits in your home or not.
You want haunted townhomes? That's how you make
it. I do. I like vodka.
I like to drink them. Yeah.
My house is full of spirits. And when I drink enough, I do see things.
Miranda, it's been a pleasure. Any, what do you call those? Wrap up. Comments on what we should expect from the new season.
Well, can you tell us, is this room haunted? Do we know if there's spirits in here with us right now?
Do you have to have the speak and spell to speak? I mean, I've seen that on plenty of.
I watch Ghostbusters a lot. They got this machine thing that tells them.
Well, I mean, I've seen this on lots of ghost hunting shows. They got the little speak and spell, and so that sometimes that one that you pull the cord and it says the ghost says boo. You know, that one.
It's like we're not witches; we're ghost hunters. You know.
Fair enough. So you have to do the research on the property to find out if it could have a chance of being haunted before you go there. You can't just walk into a random room and be asked by some idiot if it's haunted.
I mean, sometimes we'll feel stuff, but, you know, that just comes from spending time there. But yeah, usually we're doing the research first. Yeah.
Josh, that's just boner touching you. Don't worry.
I was Look, I'm to sorry, man.
All this touching.
I have needs.
Season 2 Ghost Biker Explorations premieres on YouTube October 1st. White Lightning, Harley Davidson launch party Saturday, September 28th. Miranda Young, it's been fantastic having you here. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Roundtable 105, the biggest podcast already ever.
In the whole building.
In the whole building, yeah. We're number one here on Lee Highway. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, that was fun.
Super fun. It's hard, like, you know, when you're so ignorant about something, to just not totally make fun of it. It's hard not, but try to have fun with it. Like, I didn't want to insult her at all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you're standing outside in the middle of the night, catching ghosts?
Yeah, why?
That's exactly.
I like to sleep.
Yeah, and if I'm going to go out at that time of night, I want to go with other people.
The name of this place is the Bleeding Mausoleum.
Let's go there at 3 a.m. and not do drugs.
So. Bless her heart. And Josh, I mean, both of them, they put themselves in scary situations, which... Not it.
But I will watch, and I appreciate them doing what they do, each their own.
Mm-hmm.
Got that new season October 1st. So, thanks to them, and thanks to you guys. This is Roundtable 105, episode 3.
Yeah.
Season 1, we're still going.
Yeah, I figured we'd be canceled by now.
They tried. I'm sure they've tried.